Okay, so I'm in Lamed Vav, but just to refresh our reflection from yesterday. So we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that Mishnah Tero Derech Aruv Yantav, that you're allowed to load down if a person has grain or barley that's being dried on the roof of his house. So he, and then he sees there's a rainstorm approaching or the rain clouds are coming. So he's allowed to take the grain and lower it through the skylight, and it's not considered Tircha Yatero or Tircha Shenetzricha. It's not prohibited on a rabbinical level for engaging in unnecessarily toil on Yantiv. You do it beyantiv, but the Mishnah says about Shabbat. On Shabbat, you're not allowed to do that. That's what the Mishnah says. Then the Gemara got into an issue. So how much am I allowed to take down? So the Gemara connected this to Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Parak Mofanim, which is the 18th Parak of Shabbos. So there, the Gemara has not an identical halacha, but we think a similar halacha. It says on Shabbos, you're allowed to move up to four or five boxes to make room for orachim, for guests, or for bitul beit hamidrash. You need room for the people to sit and come learning. And I looked at Tosfos over there, says, how big is the box? Tosfos says each box would be three sa'ah. So I think we mentioned that yesterday. So then the Gemara had some questions about whether those two are comparable. So the Gemara said maybe the two cases are simply different, because maybe over by Shabbos is different because the Gemara said so the Gemara says but Shani Han, the Gemara said the eagle betel beta meder. So over there, perhaps you're allowed to do it because you're welcoming guests or you have eagle beta meder. Here, the only question is one of financial loss. The question is financial loss more severe or less severe than that? Because the Gemara thinks that bitul beit hamidrash and welcoming guests are more important than in the financial loss, in the one of Kimpa. Or the Gemara says, so if that's the case, two cases are incomparable, and there's more room to be matri you over there than to be matri you here. Or in the alternative, the Gemara says, over there, it's the permission to move four or five boxes. It sounds like somewhat counterintuitive. The Shabbos is so chamor. Shabbos is so stringent. In other words, if you violate Shabbos, it's a capital crime, or you have a chiyuv karet. There, we're not afraid people be lax with it. But over here, by Yontiv, we're afraid because it's not so severe, people will be more lax, and maybe they didn't give you as much leeway with that, move four or five boxes. Or, then the Gemara says, or in the alternative, maybe we could say that Yontiv is more liberal than Shabbos. He says, over there, there's no hefsid mamon. Here we have a financial loss. Maybe they give you more leeway because of the financial loss. Okay, we're on the top line on Lamed Baba Medalef, 36 at the top line. So, in this Shabbos case, I have either it's in my dining room or whatever, wherever I'm sitting in the barn or whatever the case is. So, we'll be four or five boxes out of the dining room to make room for the guests, or I'm wherever I'm meeting with the Talmidim, there are these four or five boxes around, I have to move them. But here we're talking about things on the roof. Okay, so top line on the bottom, all of the Gemara has a different question now, but all sort of related. Hatam Tanan, over there in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbat, on top line on the bottom, 36a, Hatam Tanan, over there in Masechet Shabbat, the same Mishnah, we learn of Aloda Otsar, that the Mishnah says I can move four or five boxes, but not at the Otsar, not the storehouse. But Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel said, my Avoloda Otsar, what is that? What do those words mean? That's in the Mishnah Shabbat. Avolimorna Otsar Kulo, meaning I'm allowed to move four or five boxes, but if moving four or five boxes is going to clear out the whole room, then I'm not allowed to do it. Why? Because I might come to even out the floor. I have a dirt floor. I may come to be mashpid the gumot, and then I'll be chayav for melechet bonim. So what about over here with the tevua? In other words, whatever the case is, however much tevua we say we could move, but am I allowed to move all the tevua? I'm afraid for someone mashpid the gumot on the roof. Do I say hatam hu b'shabbat the asur mishum dechamir? Do I say perhaps that there was only concerned by Shabbos because Shabbos is so stringent, so they were concerned even for the possibility that I might be mashpid gumot? Perhaps by Yontiv, the Chanan were not concerned with that. Or perhaps it's the other way around. Over there, where there's potential for Bitul Beit HaMedrash, you could say for the guests or whatever, but those things I'll have a chashivas, and nevertheless I say I can't do it without moving, if I'm, you know, making the floor bare. Hachad, let the Bitul Beit HaMedrash look caution. Here, where we don't have that principle of Beit HaMedrash, so certainly it should be prohibited. Okay, that's one question. Okay, everybody good? Okay, let me just get to the a little bit more, and it's like two dots, and I'll pause. Okay, now another question: the Hachat Tanan. In our mission, we learn Mishulim Peiro Derech Aruba Yamtiv, that I'm allowed to move the produce through the skylight on Yamtiv. The Amar of Nachman Lo Shanu Elabo Toa Gag. Rav Nachman says, as only where the skylight is on the same roof where the tevuah is found, where the wheat or the barley is found. About Migag Migag Lo. But if there's an adjacent roof and then there's a skylight in that roof, I'm not allowed to move the tefuah from one roof to another roof and then through the skylight, because that's too much tshircha. The Tani Nami Haki, we learn the Brisa, the first white line, similarly. In the Talpo Migag Migag, you're not allowed to pick the tefuah from one roof to another roof, even if the two roofs are on the same level. If they're not on the same level, it's more work. He says, so over there, by Shabbos, what would be the halacha? Meaning, by Shabbos, it's where I want to clear out the boxes, but I guess I'd be clearing out from boxes, but moving it, let's say, from one room to another. One minute. He says, now, if you look in the Rashal takes out the parts that are in parentheses, but I'll read it, but we'll see. So, close being Shabbat the Chamira, do I say, but Shabbos is more Chamor? So, if the restriction is in place for Yontiv, certainly the same restriction would be in place for Shabbos. Or Dilma, or do I say, this restriction is only in place by Yontiv, because Yontiv is less stringent, and people may come to be lax with it. About Shabbat the Chamira, maybe Shabbos is not a problem. Or maybe Mahakad have say payroll Amri Lo, or maybe I'll say like this: if even where there's a financial loss, you say I can't do that. It's assuming the financial loss is like the more common or the two. Hatam like have say payroll look all shekane. So here with this have say payroll certainly be the way. Okay, one question, just one second. I just want to take a look. Let me just take a quick look. See on the job, right? Wait, give me one second. Yeah, right. So it means like if the boxes of like Shabbos are on one roof and I want to make room on the roof, I guess, for people to eat or for the Talmidim to learn, can I move it from one roof to another roof? That's the question. So on one hand, if Bayantiv is prohibited, certainly Shabbos is to be prohibited. On the other hand, there's some reasons we might be more stringent by Bayantiv than we are by Shabbos. Let me do one more case, and I'll stop at the two dots, and then we'll talk, okay? So the Gemara says, now it's in the fifth white line, Hachatanya. Here we learn a Bryce, so it means this Bryce is on our topic. It says, Lo Yishal Shalim Bechevel Bechalonot, that he shouldn't lower the two, I guess, the sacks through the windows, and the windows on the side of the building. In other words, I can lower it through the skylight, but I shouldn't lower on the side of the building and then get it in through the window. He says, below your redeemed derech sulamot. I shouldn't lower derech sulamot. Sulam is a ladder. The sulam could also mean steps, Rashi says. If you look at Rashi, he says it's around the 10th narrow line. Koman trege karis sulam apak vashim shalanu. He says any like steps are called a sulam. Even our ramps are called a sulam. He says, hatamoi. So here we're saying, in other words, if you're going to lower it through the skylight, you have the heter. But if you have to take it through the chalono, don't do that, and don't do it through steps. So hatamai, what about by Shabbos, when I want to move the four or five boxes out of the way, is the same prohibition in place? Do I say, hachab yontu with the asur, leka bitul beit hamedrash? Do I say that here in Yontiv, there's prohibition, but there's no countervailing interest, the Bitul Beit HaMedrash, which might outweigh it. By Shabbos, we're talking about Bitul Beit HaMedrash. I want to make room for the Talmidim, or for the guests who are coming. About Shabbat, the Bitul Medrash, Shabri Dami, O Dilma, Hachad, Ika, Hefse, Peronami, La, or perhaps, here where there's a financial laws to say you can't do it, Hacham, Leka, Hefse, Peron, Lo, Kol, Shekain. Over there, where there's no financial laws, certainly you can't do it. So take the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions. So the Gemara is really just like following through with the connection between Shabbos and Yontif, between the prohibition in our Mishnah, which is lowering the wheat or the barley through the skylight, and then the prohibition or the heter Masechet Shabbos to move four or five boxes to make room for guests or make room to the Talmidim. And how analogous are those two cases, one with another? So we saw the Gemara was very mesupach on how analogous they were. So one issue the Gemara brought up is that over there, I'm not allowed to move all the boxes because I may come lashviyei gumot. I may come to even out the floor, and that would be melechet bona. So that's an isur that's in place by Shabbos. In other words, I can move four or five boxes, but if four or five boxes are going to expose the entire floor, I'm not allowed to move it. In other words, if three boxes expose the entire floor, I can't do it because I may come to lashviyei gumot on Shabbos. He says, what would be the halakha by yantiv? In other words, if I move all the tua off the roof, now I have a clean roof. I guess the roof in some way there would be mashma gumot on it. So am I allowed to do with that? So the Gemara says, maybe Shabbos is more chamor, but yantiv is more lenient. I wouldn't worry about it. Or maybe over there, even where there is an interest of bitul beit medrash, they say I can't do that. So certainly here by yantiv, I can't do that. Okay, then that's one issue. And the second issue we discussed was that the town of Armisha said I can lower the produce through the skylight on Yontif. Rav Nachman says only if it's that roof. I can't take it to an adjoining roof. And we learned the Brisa that way as well. So what would be the halacha on Shabbos if I have to move the four or five boxes, one roof to another roof? Could I do that or not? So the Gemara said, maybe here there's a prohibition in place because people tend to be lax with yantiv. But Shabbos is a time where they won't come to be mezalzel with it, so it's okay. Or perhaps here there's a have to say payroll, there's a financial loss, you think you can't do it. But certainly by Shabbos, where there's no financial loss, you can't do it. Okay, that was the second case. And then the third case, when there was a Bryce said, I can't lower it through like the window, and it has to be a skylight, can't lower through the window or through the steps. So what about by Shabbos? Can I like move the four or five boxes like through a window or through steps? So maybe Yontif is prohibited, there's no bitul beit medrash, but Shabbos there's bitul beit medrash, maybe I have some leeway with that. Or perhaps here when there's a financial loss I can't do it, certainly over there where there's no financial loss I can't. So the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Okay, time for questions, comments, and thoughts. What do you got? Anybody? What's up? Okay, we'll give you two. Right. No. All right. So, I don't know if you can hear it in the cyber world, but Rafi Maidi was asking that by we learned by Melechet Ofel Nefesh is it's only if you couldn't have done it before Yontif. If you could have done it before Yontif, you don't have the heter to do it. So he's asking, wasn't this guy remiss by not moving his tefuah? So, I don't know. They weren't meteorologists. He left the tefuah on the seal on the roof to dry, and then now he gets up. He sees it looks like the storm clouds are coming. But even assuming that it would be that way, it's not the same thing because over there you're talking about a malacha. Here you're talking about the tircha of moving. It's true, the tircha could be an issue, but it's not exactly the same thing. But here, Mustama, he just sees the rain clouds coming. What's the second question? No. In other words, it takes more effort. In other words, to throw through the skylight, I just take it, I throw it down, it's in there. Through the thing, it's more of a tircha. Okay, what do you got for me, Fern?
What's the halacha l'maisa on the financial loss?
What do you mean? I mean, the Gemara here, Mispara here, like on the one hand, we were saying that here there's a financial loss. So certainly by Shabbos, where there's no financial loss, so if there's a prohibition here with a financial loss, certainly there it should be prohibited. But then the Gemara had a Svara, counter Svara. So the Gemara left everything as a take. The Gemara didn't resolve anything. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, I'm going to move on if everybody's okay. All right, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, let's take a look. We're in the 10th wide line. Okay, so we said, let's go back to the Mishnah for a minute. Okay, the top line of the Mishnah from yesterday on Lamed Hamed Beis, that you can cover the payroll to be the fruit or the produce, the kalim. So here the artsal transit of kalim is like with a mat or a sheet because of the rain. And similarly, you can cover the barrels or a jug of wine, a jug of oil. You don't want the rain to get in there. But don't even cleat on the delicate Shabbat. I can put a vessel under the leak on Shabbos. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the 10th wide line of Ralph. So umachasin or peyrot, you're allowed to cover the produce to protect from the rain. Amar Ula Avir Delivne. So Ula says, even Avir Delivne would be like a row of bricks that's waiting for construction. Meaning, even if the item I'm going to cover is buksa, I'm allowed to cover the buksa item on Shabbos or on Yom Tov rather, protect it. In other words, in the Mishnah, it's a non-muksa item. That's what we discussed. In other words, the case in the Mishnah is the peyrot. So it's non-muksa, but even a muksa item I can cover. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Peyrotim. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, I can only cover something which is not muksa. I can't cover something which is muksa. But Rabbi Yitzchak Tameh, Rabbi Yitzchak follows the sheet that the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak in Klini Tal Dvar Ani Tal B'Shabbat. Rabbi Yitzchak holds, as a din in muksa, he holds, I'm only allowed to move a keli, and a keli could be the sheet, a keli could be like a utensil, but I can only move a keli for something that's not muksa. I can't move it for a muksa item. So that's the machlok that they have. So Mela, they understand the Mishnah differently. So one says mukhasin a peyrot. One understands it means even it could even be true for a row of bricks. And the other says peyrot is peyrot. So the Gemara says tanan mukhasin a peyrot bekalim. So now the Gemara tries to deduce proof for Rabbi Yitzchak. We have the machlok between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says it has to be something which is non-muksa, and Ula says but even something which is muksa. So tanan mukhasin a peyrot bekalim. So the words of the Mishnah are I'm allowed to cover peyrot with a mat. He says, payroad in, I've usually living low. So the logical inference from the Mishnah is that I can cover payroad, which is like edible items, which are non-muksa, and then something which is muksa that I can't do, which seems to support Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, the Gemara deflects the proof. It says, who had dinda filu of your living? No. Ula would say, Mishnah means I could even cover a row of bricks. It means a row of bricks that I'm waiting through construction with it. But, so why, if that's the case, why does the Tana teach me in this case about just covering the chitin? Were covering the payroad. But I didn't tana ratio machil and payroad, tana safe anami mechasim and payroad. So the reason Ula would say that it gave the same case is because the first case of the Mishnah was machil and payroad de haruba. I can lower the payroad through the skylight. That has to be something which is not muksa because I'm moving it. So I can move that. Once I have that case, the tana sticks with the same fact pattern, but not that the halakha is limited to that fact pattern. Indeed, Ula will say that the tana holds that you can even cover a muksa item with it. All right, so we tried to bring a proof for Rabbi Yitzchak and it fell apart. A little bit, but I have to keep an eye on the watch. Okay, so those are the two things. I did the review with the previous Gemara, so if you don't want me to do reviews, I don't have to do reviews, but then we can go slower. So it's up to you how you want to do this, okay? Now, the Gemara said, the Gemara says, Tanan. So the Gemara continues to try to deduce a proof for Rabbi Yitzchak that I'm only allowed to cover things that are not muksa. So Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the thing kadi yayin, the thing kadi shemen. So then the Mishnah has another case. This is I cover the payroad. It's in payroad because that was like the first case. But then the Tana teaches me two additional cases. I'm allowed to cover jugs of wine and jugs of oil. He says, so the fact that he gives me non-muksa items in addition, that sounds like that's approved for Rabbi Yitzchak. Because why? Because he's done with doing the symmetry of language or with a similar case. So he should cut new ground. So he says, "Hachamai askinan b'tivla." So we could say on behalf of Ula, the Tana means it is muksa. It could be tevel, untithed wine, untithed oil. That is muksa. So he's saying you could cover muksa items. So far from being approved for Rabbi Yitzchak, it's now a question against Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, "Hakinami mistabra." That's logical. The Yisal kadaita kadiyayim the kadishemen the hetera. Because if you would assume, like you wanted to assume initially, that it means wine, just wine and oil, like that you can use, hatanali reisha peirot. So the Tana already taught me peirot. Why would he teach me the same thing over and over again? Kadiyayim kadishemen So that being the case, so we started off with the proof for Rabbi Yitzchak, and now it's plopped in the face. Now it's a kasha against Rabbi Yitzchak. Now it's a proof for Ula. Then it sounds like from the Mishnah that I can even cover things that are muksa. So the Gemara says no. Kadi yayim kadi shem nitzrikalei. I could say it means everything was heter, and that was saying that the Tana still had to teach me kadi yayim kadi shemen. I would have thought that Chazal were only concerned for a large financial loss, and a small financial loss they weren't concerned about. So kamashmalan, meaning that with the kadi yayin and kadi shemen, in other words, with the kadi yayin and kadi shemen. Like, let's say a little water, the way I interpret it, like a little water will go into the wine, a little water will go into the oil. So it will lead to some diminution in value. It's not a big loss. With the chitim, so there's a big loss. So they let me do this. But here, there's a small financial loss. So he's teaching me, let me just see one second. It's interesting here. Right. So even though it's a small financial loss, I could still take the item and cover it over. I guess they say it's not like a tir kashen, it's a teresa. All right. So we've been able to resolve that. All right. Now, Kamesh Malan. Okay. Now, all right. So now the Gemara continues on. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, not in kli tachar adel b'shabbat, that you're allowed to put a keli under the leek on Shabbos. So we assume that the leaking water is muksa because it's like dirty water. So that seems to prove that thing. So now the Gemara is shifting gears. So before we were trying to bring proof for Rabbi Yitzchak, now bring proofs for Ula, that I can even move an item for a muksa item. So he says, so I'm taking, let's say, a pail to catch the leaking water, but the leaking water is muksa, but I'm allowed to take the pail for it. That's cash against Rabbi Yitzchak, and it's proofs for Ula. So, but delapa ru'i. So we'll say, talking about where the leak is ru'i, maybe the animals could drink from it, it's ru'i to be used. So it's non-muksa. So tashma, so we try to bring a proof from a b'risa. The b'risa says, porsin machatzila l'gabi l'veinim b'shabbat. It says that you're allowed to spread a mat on bricks on Shabbos. So that seems on all fours against Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, it's a muksa item, I can't do it. And it says that here, I could spread the mat on it. So the Gemara says the Ayatur Mivinyana, the Chazit Mizkalayu. So it could be the Brisa, or what Rabbi Yitzchak would say, this Brisa is talking about leftover bricks from a construction job that now the Ru'i to be used as like a seat. So in other words, these were left over. I don't intend to use it for construction anymore. And now it's Ru'i for a chair. And that's the way I view it. So it's non muksa. All right. Tashma, Portsin Machasela Magabi Avanim B'Shabbat. So another Brisa says, I'm allowed to take a mat and spread it over stones on Shabbos. So stones are like a typical example of something which is muksa. That's not looking good for a Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, but avanim kurz lo, the chazal of the kisei. So Yitzchak will say, talking about those sharp stones that you could use to clean yourself from the bathroom, is a special heter on Shabbos that you could take those stones and they're not muksa. So much for that. That's correct, but still, but those are the stones I would use from the bathroom, so it's not muksa. Okay, so Tashma, Porsin Machatzel Agabi Kaveret Devorin B'Shabbat. He says, now this is a longer braisa. It says, we're allowed to spread a mat on a beehive on Shabbos. Now, the beehive is davar muksa, the beehive is muksa. So I'm allowed to spread the mat on the beehive on Shabbos. B'cham Ne'akama, in the sun, protected from the sun. B'cham Ne'akshan, where the rain, from the rain, why you don't have intention to capture the bees, and we'll talk about that line. But the main point being that I'm allowed to spread a sheet for something which is muksa. That's the kasha against Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, in that case, there's honey in the beehive. So the honey is human food, so therefore I'm allowed to spread the mat on the beehive because it has human food in it. So Amirav Ukum Meshal Ravashi. So he says, in the summer, you're right, there's honey in the beehive in the summer, that's true. What about in the winter? Now, the Mishnah said, the Braisa said, we assume Cham is the summer and Gisham is the winter. That's what we assume. So yet, part of the Braisa permits you to spread the bat over the beehive, even in the winter, when there's not typically honey in the beehive in the winter. In other words, people have beehives to do it like, you know, commercially, and I take the honey out. So, lo nisrachel tanshtei chalot. The Gemara says, yeah, but you always leave two chalot, two honeycombs, whatever. The way I imagine is like these like sheets or whatever, two honeycombs for the bees to subsist on. So the Gemara says, otan shtei chalot muksanei, but those two are muksa also because it's for the bees, not for the humans. So hakam ayaskina shechishei golem. So Rabbi Yitzchak will say, to explain this braisa, we're talking about with the person who had the beehive, he thought before Shabbos, I'm going to use that honey that's left there from the two chalot on Shabbos. But let's say he didn't have that intent before Shabbos, so that's aser, that would be prohibited. So the Gemara wants to say, the Braisa is teaching me a case where I have heter, I could spread the mat over the beehive on Shabbos, but I have to come on and not capture the bees. So adatani vajloi kabin latsud. So instead of putting the proviso at the end that I should have kavana that I don't want to capture the bees, in other words, if there's a case of heter, a case of isur. So instead of jumping into the melechet seida, I shouldn't have intention to trap because I'm going to spread this whole thing on trapping and we'll see what the problem over that is. Then it's prohibited. I'm not to do seida on Shabbos. But instead of going to like this other topic about seida, why don't we stay with the honey, with the muksah? He says, when am I allowed to cover it if I have a shovel before Shabbos? I'm planning to have this honey. But I didn't have that kavana. It's asur. Why didn't the Tana stay with that? So the Gemara says, Haki Tamar. This is what the Braisa means. Even though he thought about it, that he's going to have it, eventually, Kavin Lasut. In other words, so the Tana is staying with the same fat pattern. It's not a totally different fat pattern. In other words, even though he had Kavana, he's eating a prat. Even though he had Kavana that he's going to eat the honey, he also has to have Kavana that he's not going to do Seder with the bees. Okay? All right. Let me just do another 10 lines. Then I'll pause. Then we'll summarize. Then we'll take questions. Okay? So the Gemara says, B'mayu kimta k'reb Yehuda. So we've been attempting to explain this braisa again. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that I'm not allowed to move a non-muksa item for a muksa item. I can't move a non-muksa mat to cover a muksa item on Shabbos or Yontif. And then we said, well, here this braisa talks about covering the beehive, the beehive is muksa. So we said, no, he wants the honey, but the honey would also muksa, the honey for the bees. So the Gemara says, because in the winter, and the Gemara says, no, he has in mind before Shabbos that the honey is going to be for him. So mainly he's allowed to cover the mat with it. So this is all working within Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak, remember, we had this talk before between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Shimon lately looks at Rabbi Yehuda holds from Moksa. So Rashi explains that this shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, that I can only move a mat for something which is a non-Moksa item, that only works within the sheets of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't work within Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would definitely not go with Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak is the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon is the Tana, but Rabbi Yitzchak can't go with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yitzchak can only go with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the comprehensive view of Moksa. So Rabbi Yitzchak has to go with Rabbi Yehuda. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kimtik Rabbi Yehuda did lay muksa." So how did you establish this braisa of going like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda wants for muksa? So Ema Seifa. Let's go to the Seifa of the braisa. U'mavachlo kavin latzod, provided he has intention not to do tseida. Atan l'Reb Shimon davar davar shein the kavin mutar. At that point, we think we're shifting over to Tana Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds, and Dr. Yom Kippur had this before, we've had it before, that by Davar Shem Kavin is usually something could occur or may not occur, but I have to have intention that it, but I don't intend that it should occur, then I have a green light to do it. So here he's saying, provided you don't have intention, you say that. So that's working within Reb Shimon, because according to Reb Yehuda, if it happens, you're going to be in trouble. So the Gemara says, with his red Reb Shimon, says that makes sense that it goes to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon agrees by psik reisha. Psik reisha means where it definitely will occur. So he's spreading the mat over the beehive, so tzeda will definitely occur. Now all the bees are confined. They're all trapped. So it's not Reb Shimon. Everybody would agree. Or Reb Shimon would also agree with that. So the Gemara says, Leolam kula Rabbi Yehuda. So the whole price that follows Rabbi Yehuda. So if it's following Rabbi Yehuda, how can he spread the mat over the beehive? Isn't he going to be chayav petzeda? It's a psik reisha. So the Gemara says, "B'hach by askinan d'itay kave." There are windows on the side of the beehive. So he's spreading the mat over the opening of the beehive, wherever the opening of the beehive is, to prevent the rain or the sun from, I don't know, shining in there. But there are extra windows on the side of the beehive. So he says, don't stay within Rabbi Yehuda, providing his intention not to capture the bees, turn page to the top line on the days. Provided that he doesn't turn the beehive into a trap. In other words, he can cover the beehive, provided that he's providing like an ingress and egress from the bees. But if he covers every entryway and exitway, then it'll be chayav etzeda. So we can explain the braisa that's in conformity with Rabbi Yitzchak, who follows the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious that I'm going to, why would the Tana even tell me that? It's so obvious that I can't cover every opening. Mahu detema, I might have thought, b'mino nitzod asur. I might have thought, if it's a type of creature that people normally go around capturing, like a chai or something like that, so then I could be chai for tzeda. But if people don't typically capture this, like a bee, how many people have you seen going around trying to capture bees? So mutar, I would have thought it's mutar because it's not tzeda. So kamash mala, no, that even though people don't normally go around capturing it, that would be tzeda. So we have to be careful for that. Okay, now, let me just do four more lines, then we'll pause, then we'll take some questions, okay? Daniel is still with us, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now, we hooked into this whole thing because it was a kash against Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak says, I'm only allowed to, because the beehive is muxa. So then we said that there's honey there, but we said, how does he have honey in the winter? So he said, we have these two chalot that they leave for the bees for the winter. So now the Gemara has a different hesber. Rav Ashi Amar, Mikitani Mona Chamim Gshamim. We assume that Chama meant the summer and Gshamim meant the winter. Rav Ashi says, does the Tana of the Braisa say, Yomona Chama which would be the summer, Yomona Gshamim which would be the winter? But Chama says, to protect from sun and from rain. His man, Biyomi Nisan and Biyomi Tishrei, the Ika Chama, the Ika Gshamim, the Ika Dvash. So he says, the Tana of the Braisa doesn't have to be talking about the winter. The Tana is talking a time when you have sun and rain. They're both issues. Means, let's say, in September and in April. So, or like, in other words, in Tishrei and in Nisan. So then you have sun and you have rain. And at that point, you have honey. So then the question is removed. Again, the question was, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, how am I going to take a mat to cover the beehive? The beehive is muxis. So there's honey in the beehive. But we said, how can be the honey in the winter? They've gotten the whole shtickle Torah about those two. It's not the way. No, it's not talking about that. Didn't it? It says, we thought it meant for the summer and for the winter. No, it means from the sun and from the rain. So what he's talking about the months when you have sun and rain, which means when the seasons are changing. So it means in roughly September, Tishrei and in Nisan, you know, roughly September and in April. And then next explain. Okay, let's just summarize what we did. Then we'll take some questions, comments, thoughts. Then we'll move on. Okay, so the main idea was that we learned the machloka between Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. Ula says, I can move something on Shabbos or Yantav for a muksa item or for a non-muksa item. There's no Easter involved. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, I can't take something and move it for a muksa item, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. So then we ask questions from Yitzchak, from our Mishnah, and we were able to deflect it. And then finally we asked it from this question with the beehive, the time that says that you can take the mat and cover the beehive is muksa. So we said that there was honey in the beehive, and then we got into a whole shtickle of Torah with the honey, how it works. So either there was like some honey left over, you know, that the beekeeper keeps in the hive to keep all the bees alive for the winter. And so there's honey there, and he thought about it before Shabbos, and he's going to have that honey. Or it's not talking about the winter. It's talking about like in the spring and the fall, and there's plenty of honey in the beehive. And therefore, it's not using the mat to cover a muksa item. It's coming not a muksa item. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? We didn't prove him or disprove him. We left everything in where it is. Okay.
Didn't we say the person has a deer that runs to his house and closes the door? He has not kavanah inside, even though it's going to happen, you're allowed to.
I don't remember exactly the way you're saying about the door. I thought when he closes the door, it's a different case. I remember in the Gemara where the person sits in the doorway and then he sits with somebody else in the doorway. But I think if he closes the door, I think he would be chayav for tzeda with the deer. I'd have to look.
Is it because is it mechusar tzeda because it can still run around? It's not.
That's something we spoke about. If it's mechusar tzeda, if there's so much room to roam around in that house that it could jump from here and here there, then it's not tzeda. All right. Okay. All right. Everybody good?
So if it's in
what's on here, Ruth? Ruth, I can't hear you.
So if it's inconclusive, it's neat, and it's not resolved. Is it up to Rav Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch to resolve it?
Well, that would be one way to resolve it. That would certainly be a place to look. That's one of the things the Mechaber.
We need the gra.
There are different poskim that come up over the centuries, but one way to look would be to look in Shulchan Aruch and see how the Mechaber paskins with this. Okay.
But in the meantime, what are people to do?
So if you're asking me, is the halakha like Rabbi Yitzchak? I don't think the halakha is like Rabbi Yitzchak, okay?
No,
all right.
Okay,
let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right, everybody good? Okay, nice to have you with us, Mordechai. Okay, we're on. Okay, is there any more questions? Otherwise, I got to mute everybody. Okay, I'm muting everybody. All right, let's go further. I don't know. Okay, let's take a look. Okay, we're on line 8. Okay, benonin kli tachan delf b'shabbat. This is the 8th line on 36b. You could put like a pail underneath a leak on Shabbos. So a tana taught in a brisa, in the malaya kli. If the kli got filled up, so you pour the water out and keep doing it. In other words, it's not considered a tircha. You know, what does Rashi say? Yeah, he says, im sarich lakach. In other words, the idea is like it's not a tircha shen tricha. Okay, now, the Gemara says, Beirechaya da Abaye. Abaye had a mill, and the place, Daluf, so there was a leak where the millstones were. And the mill, it was dangerous. The millstones were going to get ruined. There was some clay holding them together or something. So Atru coming to Rabbah. So Abaye came to before Rabbah, who was his uncle and his Rebbe. Amarle, so Rabbah said to him, So my advice to you, and it was the mill is muksa. It was the items of the mill are muksa. So he says, why don't you take your bed, bring your bed to this, like, room wherever the millstones are, then the millstones will be repulsive to you, and that'll be the legal equivalent of Rav Sharei. Rav Sharei is a chamber pot. In other words, so a chamber pot would normally be muksa, but there's a special heter for Rav Sharei. So you're allowed to move the Rav Sharei out of it. Something's very mouse, I have a heter to remove it from the house. So move your bed to where the millstones are. Abaye was afraid he's going to suffer financial loss because the millstones are going to get ruined from the rain. So Rabbi said to put the millstones are muksa. So Rabbi said, bring your bed to where the millstones are. Then the millstones will be like davar ma'os to you. I don't know exactly what it is, like I guess a smell or something like that. And then you'll take the millstones out and you'll be happy. So Yatev Abaye b'kakashli. So Abaye was sitting and he was bothered with this. B'kiosin graf shalrei l'chakila. Am I allowed l'chakila to create a graf shalrei? In other words, I'm like setting it up. So this is a graf shalrei. So the Gemara says that the haki nafal beirichai d'abaye. So while this is going on, so it sounds like the room with the millstone, everything collapsed in there. It said beirichai, so I assume it's the whole place where the mill was collapsed. So Amar, so Abaye said, Tatili, I had it coming to me, the Avri Adamar, because I should have followed what my Rebbe said. In other words, Rabbi said, I could do it. Rebbe had gezakt, I should have done it right away. I shouldn't have been mahar hair. Because I was mahar hair, that's why I lost out. All right, let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. So Amar Shmuel, Rav Shorei, Ba'avit Shomimei Raglayim, Mutarlo Tzion La'ashba. So Shmuel says, if a Rav Shorei is like a chamber pot, and Avit Shomimei Raglayim is a pot that holds the urine, it's the same thing, it's just one pot is called Rav, and one is called Avit. Drop is for the excrement and Avid is for the urine. You're allowed to take it out on Shabbos or on Yom Tov and throw it in the garbage. When he wants to bring the pot back, he should put water in it and bring it back. When the water will be something ruhi for animals or something like that, but I have a non-muksa item that'll give me a hetzer to bring it back. So they thought from listening to Shmuel's halacha, that the heter is only to move the davar ma'os when it's in a keli, not to move the davar ma'os, let's say, biadayim, you know, something like that. That's what they thought. So tashmas, the Gemara brings the proof not this way. It was a certain mouse that was found in the spice house of Ravashi. So Amar Ravashi, Nata Bitsusita Vapua. He said, Ravashi said, take it by its tail and take it out. In other words, so the mouse is Muksa, and he said, take the item out. So in other words, so not just with a Kaili, but you take the item out. You know, I'm always bothered by it, where I'm bothered by it. Like, you know, now they have like these pooper scooper laws. And I see on Shabbos, people, they have their dogs. The dogs, animals are Muksa on Shabbos. There's one shita from one of the Rishonim who holds that, you know, it's a marach or a zaruah, who holds that if it's like a pet, that it's not muksa, but mainstream thinking is the animal's muksa. But besides that, though, they walk around with the ox in their hands, and it's not a grafshal rei because it's on the street. And I don't know what the heter is, frankly, that they're walking around with this stuff. You know what I mean? I understand that they can give you a ticket otherwise, but I don't think that, like, you know, undercuts the. In other words, they got the zevel in their hands in a bag or whatever, because from the dog or whatever. And then, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. You're carrying muksa on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. So I don't know what the heter is for that. I don't know what to say.
Dina.
Yeah, but
why is the diaper different?
So again, that's like Rav Sharei. It's in the house. I'm allowed to get it. I'm not in the house. I'm on the street. So I don't have the heter Rav Sharei on the street.
It's the law.
Well, I don't know. I have to look into it. The Groucho Ray is like taken out of the house. It's so disgusting.
Let's say the midrash that we're learning.
No, but I'm saying, but in the Zvachazal, I don't know if I could or couldn't, but that, I'm just bothered by it. I don't know. I have to look into it. I got to look
if
into
we
it.
Didn't follow the law, wouldn't it cause anti-Semitism?
I don't know. I got to look. I need to look into it. Okay, but it's a ha'ara. I'll leave it as a ha'ara. Okay. Now, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts? Well, that's what the Gemara was just discussing. That Abai was masupak on it. So Tosus points out that Rabbi held that he could because it was a hefsei meruba that was involved. So they asked that, and there was, what was the hefsei for this? So, because the Gemara said you're not allowed to do it. That's where we had this earlier in the Masechta. No. So he says like this. He says, so Rabbah, if you look at the Tosos, the third Tosos, he says, Sfirli Rabbah, the Hachashar, you should say to the Bei Rechaya. He says that one Pshat Tosos has that it was a heter because of the loss of the millstones. That's why he was matzir it. Or he also says, "Mishum lo mikru lechachil pafachako, kemeshug shaming for muzulafin bayit, ain kol kach lechachil kol muzamin lenafri." In other words, I already have like a situation on my hands. I have the rain is already in this structure. See, the case in the Gemara earlier was, am I allowed to invite a non-Jew to my house, or I'm not allowed to invite the non-Jew to the house? And one of the reasons the Gemara gives, the non-Jew is going to eat some wine, drink some wine. The wine we left in the cups. And then the Jewish waiter is going to move the cups or whatever, which would be muksa, because it's tam yena. So the Gemara says, is in why isn't like Rav Sharei? So the Gemara says, are you not allowed to make Rav Sharei lachachila, or are you allowed to make lachachila? In other words, I couldn't set up a situation where he's going to come, so I'm going to leave it around. So that's what Abai was asking about. So Tosel says, what's different here is there was a big financial loss involved. So I have to run. Wait. No.
Why not?
Yeah, no. Well, okay, so it's two different. One is aim of Aklan Easter Lachachila. That's one halacha. And then about Graf Sharei Lachachila. Okay, so So those two halachot don't necessarily have an equivalence. That's the first you saw. In other words, Ein Mavavim Isur L'Chachila has its own rules, and then Ein Osin Grafshere L'Chachila has its own rules. That's what I would say. In other words, you want to say, if according to Rabbah, for Hefsim Ruba, I'm allowed to do it, so then I should be able to do it. Yeah, but it's not exactly the same thing. All right, or any other questions? All right, quick.
Smell bad.
No, but it's in the mill, like the mill area. He doesn't live there.
You want to
sit
there.
I know, that's like relates to like the dog with the pooper scooper. I'm saying like Rosh Torei, so it's all in the house. That's what I'm allowed to do. But but it needs some union with that whole thing. Okay, I have to run. Please excuse me. If I have time at the end, I'll open it up again. Okay, so let's look at the Mishnah on Lama Bum Base. Okay, everybody good? Any questions from the cyber world? Okay, so let's take a look. Manitin, if something I'm not allowed to do it, which means like a Xerid Rabban, I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos, Mishum or Shud, even if it has an aspect of a mitzvah with it, Mishum mitzvah, or even if it's a full-fledged mitzvah, the Shabbat. So if I'm chayiv for that on Shabbos, chayiv in the Labi Yomtov, we also chayiv on Yomtov. The Elohim Mishum or Shud. The following are Xerid Rabbanan that apply in Shabbos and also apply in Yomtov. Lo Olin Be'ilam, you're not climb a tree on Shabbos or on Yomtov, it's Xerid, you may come to break off a branch, which means like a coat there. Lo rochin al gabi behema. You're not allowed to ride a behema. Again, Xavier, you may break off a branch to like hit the animal with, and then that would be malacha deraisa. Lo shatin al panei amayim. You're not allowed to go swimming. It's Xavier, you may come to make a flotation device in the water. So I can't go swimming on Shabbos or anything. Lo metapchin, lo masapchin, lo meraktin. I'm allowed to clap like with both hands. He says, when masapchin is to clap against my thigh, well, Marakti, not allowed to dance, and that's Xera Mishmiyasai Clay Shear. You might make a musical instrument, and one way to say is clapping to a beat. But you see here it says you're not allowed to dance on Shabbos and on Yantiv. The Elohim Mishmishut. Now, the following is where there's an aspect of a mitzvah that's involved, but it's still prohibited. Lo Danin, I'm not allowed to judge a case on, like in a Bezdin, on Shabbos or on Yantiv. That's Xavier Shema Yichtov. I may come to write it sucked in. I'm not allowed to be Makadish and Isha on Shabbos or on Yantiv. Again, it's Xavier because I may come to write, be Makadish or the star, in which case I would write. Below Choltzin, I can't do Chalitza on Shabbos or Yantiv because, again, I might write a star Chalitza. Below Miyabin, I can't do Yibum because I might write a Ksuba. The following is a full-fledged mitzvah, but I still have Xavier still in place. Lo Makdishin, I'm not allowed to clear something Hekdesh, you know, for the base of Mekdash on Shabbos or Yantiv, and that's a Xer because of Mekkah Komemtar. Lo Ma'arichin, I'm not allowed, Erchin, you know, as the person says, the value of something he accepts to give to the base of Mekdash, can't do that. Lo Ma'achrimin can be a Cherim to the base of Mekdash or a Cherim to the Konim, so I saw both Shabbos here, but again, it's all Mekkah Komemtar. Lo Ma'bin Truma U'Maiser, I can't separate Truma and Maiser, which we had earlier, that's Tikkun Clear or Tikkun Lumachal, and they can't do that. So all those things are prohibited on Yantim and certainly on Shabbos. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We don't understand the Mishnah. We have to learn a lot of Dinim, and then hopefully we'll clarify. Okay, let's look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, Olin be'ilon, not allowed to climb a tree. And again, climbing a tree, you should remember, everybody has to remind themselves, it means like even leaning against a tree is prohibited. Like sometimes you might walk on Shabbos, maybe you want to tighten the shoelace or something like that. You might want to lean against a tree or put your foot against the tree. Those are all part of the Gzeira. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos or on Yantiv, you know? Okay, so let's take a look back in the Gemara. So only in Be'ilon, Gzeira Shema Yitlosh, Gzeira, I make him to break off a branch. Below Roth and Al-Gabi Behema, you're not allowed to ride a Behema, Xera Shami Yisei Fotzat Kov. So the Gemara says, I can't ride a Behema because it's a Xera that I may come to leave the Tum, from Shabbos, from Yantav, I'm allowed to go 2,000 Amot. So the Gemara takes it, when I walk, I'll see the Simanim that indicate where the Tum is. When I ride, I won't notice it. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Shmominat Tum Doraita. So then that would lead me to think that Tumin are Minat Torah, because they're not going to make Xera on Xera. If you're telling me that I can't ride the Behemoth because I may come to leave the Tum, so if Tum is Doraisa, then that makes sense. But if Tum is not Doraisa, it doesn't make sense. That would mean, if the shot is correct, that means Tumin are Doraisa. Ela, the Gemara says, Xera Shem Yatok Zemora. No, the reason that I can't ride the animal is that I'm afraid I'll break off a branch and hit the animal with it. And there's more to explain in each one of these, depending on how much time you have. Below Shatin Al Pneumayim, I'm not allowed to swim on Shabbos or on Yantiv. Zir Shem Yaseh Chavitz L'Shayatin, I might make like this sort of flotation device. And Rashi explains, let's look at Rashi. Four lines from the bottom. Chavitz L'Shayatin, Klishto Dome, it's like made out of reeds. Shorgin until it's woven. Like it's like I assume it's like a cylinder. And you could train yourself to swim in it. So it's this pambariga and also makib patish with this. Okay, now let's do a few more lines from the Gemara and then we'll talk. I'm not allowed to clap, not allowed to clap my thigh, and lom rak, not to dance. And then it's a certain question, how is the people, you know, dance on Shabbos on Yom Tov? You should know that. I think I heard Rav Moshe like he would I think try to avoid doing it, or just do it like I think on Simchas Torah you would do it just a little bit, but it's not so pashut that you're allowed. I know everybody is going to go dancing, but no, I'm saying from the Mishnah it sounds like I'm not allowed to dance on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, period. I can't dance on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Hezra would be that if you're doing it for a mitzvah, that might be the exception. But I think that I'd heard that Rav Moshe tried to, like, I think he didn't normally dance on a Shabbos or Yom Tov. I think in a simple story, he did a few steps or something, but it's not so pashut that it's permissible. Okay, let's take a look back in the Gemara. So he says, Zera, Shem Yitachin Kleshir. It's Zera, you may come to fix a musical instrument. Now, the following have a little bit of a myth involved, but notwithstanding that, we don't do it. Lodanin. So the Gemara says, Vahamitzvah ka'avid. So he says, but why do you say it's Rishut? He's doing a mitzvah by judging a din Torah. So why do you call it Rishut? It's a mitzvah. He says, Lo, Tzrichavi, get the Adith Mine. The Patan is talking about there's somebody that's greater than you, and you nevertheless want to go forward. That's why it's Rishus. In other words, if you would be the gadol, so it would be a mitzvah. But even then, it would be prohibited. But it means that there's somebody that's greater than you. Below Mekachin, you're not allowed to be Mekachin Isha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but mitzvah ka'avi, but you're doing a mitzvah from Mekachin Isha. So why not? If you're doing a mitzvah, why shouldn't... In other words, these are dinim d'rabbanan, but usually when there's a mitzvah, it like takes it out from the dinim d'rabbanan. So lo tzricha, the itlai Isha ubanim. We're talking about where he already was married. He's married already, and he has children. Rashi says, either according to Beit Shammai, he's got two male children, or according to Beit Hillel, he's got a male and female. And now he wants to take another wife. So it's not such a great mitzvah. I mean, it's a little bit of a mitzvah, but not such a great mitzvah. Okay, let me just do a few things, and then I got to really break it off. No, just 1 second. Okay, let me talk, and then you'll speak to me later. Okay, so the Gemara says... there's a lot to talk about with all this. Let me talk about the Ishu Banim with this. Whereas Rashi indicates that the Rishus or Mitzvah status of Kedushin is academic, Rabbeinu Tam maintains that the sages only forbid Kedushin on Shabbos if it's Rishus. However, if a man is childless, he's permitted to perform Kedushin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, since the act of Kedushin is an obligatory mitzvah. So Rabbeinu Tam in the Tosfos, where is it? In this Tosfos, from Mitzvah Ka'avid, Rabbeinu Tam learns, not like Rashi. Rashi learns that in Achinami over here, what's such a big mitzvah? If you lose to be a mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it. Rabbeinu Tam learns, no. If you were never married before, you're allowed to get married on Shabbos. That's what Rabbeinu Tam learns. So the Ran, citing Rabbeinu Tam, says that one should not perform Kiddushin on Shabbos unless there's a pressing need to do so. Moreover, he says that even in a situation in which one is permitted to perform Kiddushin on Shabbos, is forbidden to perform Nisuin, because the act of Nisuin is a genuine Kenyan. So he says the only heter Rabbeinu Tam is talking about is doing the Erusin, but not do the Nisuin. He says the Ramah, however, in extreme cases, permits Kiddushin and Nisuin on Shabbos, such as where a wedding was scheduled for Friday, but was delayed due to monetary issues. So in Europe, they used to have the weddings late Friday afternoon, right, because they didn't have a lot of money, and they're going to use the Friday night meal as the banquet. So the Ramah, in extreme cases, says you can do it on Shabbos. The Chai Adam explains that the Ramah permits Kedushin and Nisuin on Shabbos only when the following three mitigating factors are present. The groom is not yet fulfilled Pru Revu. Delaying the wedding on Sunday will result in large monetary loss, like due to spoilers of the wedding feast. And delaying the wedding will be embarrassing for the groom and bride. Indeed, the Ramah, in his responsa, relates an incident which he conducted the wedding of an orphan girl on Friday night after it was delayed from early in the day. So the Ramah, there's a famous case. The Ramah performed Kiddushin on one Shabbos because he was concerned that delaying the wedding until Sunday night might result in quarreling and a broken engagement, causing much embarrassment to the orphan bride. The Rambam writes, based on Ksubas Dafheim, that a wedding should not be scheduled for Erev Shabbos because it may lead to Shabbos desecration. The Shulchan Aruch setting the Rush, who permits weddings on Erev Shabbos, writes there's a widespread custom to make weddings on Friday. The Mishnah Berurah, however, cautions that one should take heed to make the wedding early in the day to avoid a Chilul Shabbos, whether at the ceremony or by guests returning home too late. Okay, that has to be today. Let me just end the recording and then we'll see where we go. Nice having everybody. 1 second, let me get this.